As we turn to our sermon text, which is Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, let's turn our attention towards the Lord again and ask that by His Spirit and His grace, He would lead us in this time as we study His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to that passage in the Gospels where Jesus teaches and implements the Lord's Supper. We pray that this would be a great benefit to us as we contemplate what it means to come to the table of the Lord. We pray that you would speak to us in your word now today, so that as we approach the table, we would do so recognizing that Jesus is with us, that we would be strengthened for this life that we live. And so, Father, we ask that you would guide us by your Spirit and give us your grace to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God remains forever. Well, this week I will board a plane and head down to Atlanta for our General Assembly of our denomination. My wife and I, and our kids join us at times, have various rituals that we go through when someone travels in our household. Renee will often put little notes in the person's baggage so they're encouraged when they start to unpack their clothing when they get to where they're going. We might leave notes behind when we go away to encourage those who are left behind at our house. Renee will often put up welcome signs to encourage the person as they come through the door, coming back home after being away. These types of reminders are meant to express our love to one another in our household, to let others know that they're not forgotten when they're away, and certainly to encourage us. Well, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is somewhat like those mementos that my wife and my children and myself use when people are traveling. In our text, it picks up where Jesus is about to leave his disciples. He's been ministering to them and with them for 3 years. For 3 years, they've heard him preach. For 3 years, they've interacted. They've shared meals. They've enjoyed, who knows what all they've enjoyed together, fishing in Peter's boat. They've enjoyed all kinds of things together. And now Jesus knows that the time is approaching. It is almost there when he will be crucified and he will be then resurrected and ascended into glory. And so he wants to leave his disciples with something. He wants to leave them here in our text with a meal. And this meal is a means of grace whereby they can be nourished and strengthened as they go out into this world and perform the duties that he will assign to them in their ministry. And so as we prepare to look at this text and as we prepare to contemplate on this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I want us to keep this one main point in mind. That since Jesus gave the Lord's Supper to his church, you are to partake of it in holy reverence for Christ and as a means to your spiritual growth. Say that again. Since Jesus gave the Lord's Supper to his church, you are to partake of it in holy reverence for Christ and as a means to your spiritual growth. And so let's look then at six ideas that we can take from this passage and from other New Testament passages that I will be bringing into the sermon regarding the Lord's Supper. I just want to tell you, this sermon's a little different from some of the others that I have written because it's a sermon that is really based on information. The application of this sermon, while there will be some throughout, the main application is what we are going to do here at this table when we are finished preaching. But I want us to pay attention to this sermon. Now, I've been in congregations most of my life, more than I've been in the pulpit. And I know how easy it is to let our minds wander. But I want us to pay attention to this sermon today so that we can get a full appreciation for the Lord's Supper. We do it every week here at this church. And we don't do it simply because it's a nice thing to do. We do it because it is a communion with the Lord Himself and with one another. So it behooves us to take to heart what Jesus is giving to His disciples on this last Passover and first Lord's Supper. And so as we come back to our text, the first thing I want us to see is that the Lord's Supper is a memorial to Christ. It is a memorial to Christ. Let's look at our text again. It's a small text, so let's read the whole thing. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So, if you remember now, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover. The Passover is the meal that forms the backdrop to the Lord's Supper. The Passover was a remembrance of God's redemption of Israel from slavery in Egypt many centuries earlier. And in the Passover meal, there would be four cups of wine that would be passed around and drunk by the people at the table. Each cup emphasized a certain aspect of the Exodus from Egypt. And then there would be bread broken and passed around. The bread was the bread of affliction, it was called, symbolizing the suffering in Egypt by the people of Israel. And on this specific night, as Jesus is participating in the Passover with his disciples, as they're all reclining around the table, he makes a change to the normal routine. The bread was usually eaten in silence as it was passed around the table. But here in this night, in this meal, Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks. And he says to his disciples, "Take, this is my body." Now, what does he mean by that? What Jesus is saying when he says, "This is my body," he is saying, "I am the Passover bread. I am the Passover bread." He was the one who would suffer. He would suffer in the body for his people, the new Israel, the church. He would be their substitute as he was crucified on the cross. And then as the third cup of wine is passed around and about to be drunk, Jesus teaches that this cup is the cup of the covenant. And if you read Luke, he actually says this cup is the new covenant established in his blood. So here's the Lord's Supper being inaugurated in the middle of the Passover meal. Now, I said there were four cups. Normally, the fourth cup would be drunk at the end of the ritual, at the end of the celebration. But on this night, as the disciples get up to leave, as they're singing their final hymns, which would be from Psalms 116 through 118, they leave the cup on the table untouched. It is not drank, because Jesus says he will not drink it again until his kingdom comes in all its fullness. So that cup remained on the table. And so on this night, when the redemption from slavery was remembered by the Jewish people, Jesus is establishing a memorial for you, that you might remember your freedom from the slavery of sin and the ravages of death, eternal death. Luke 22 records Jesus is saying, "Do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of me." So where the lamb was slain so that the wrath of God would pass over the Israelites in Egypt, now the Lamb of God will be crucified so that the wrath of God will pass over the new Israel, over the church, brothers and sisters. So if you are a believer, it will pass over you. This is the new redemption, the new Passover, and it is what is remembered in the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine represent, they symbolize Christ's body and blood. His body and blood, which is given for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, the payment for the pardon for your sin. Nevertheless, this is not just a memorial service. We're mistaken if that's all the farther we go with this. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is present with us. He is present with us. He says in verses 22 and 24, "As they were eating, he took bread, and after supper, blessing it, broke it, gave thanks, and said, 'This is my body.'" And in verse 24, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many." Christ, when we come to the table, is present with us. But the question is, how is he present with us? How is Christ present with us? That's been the big question for centuries throughout the church. Well, we can get some help if we look back at an Old Testament passage. Back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 24, God tells the Israelites, "In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you." And then again, we go back to Luke 22, where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So in this sacrament, in some mysterious way, Christ comes to us. He meets with us in this sacrament in a way that he does not do otherwise. He doesn't do it by changing the bread and wine into his physical flesh and blood. Rather, he does it by meeting with his people through the Spirit, so that we can say there is a real presence of Christ in this sacrament. There is a real presence. And as he comes, he communes with us then as our covenant keeping Savior. He comes to commune with us as the covenant keeper. And so Jesus meets with us, and the supper becomes a covenant renewal. It becomes a covenant renewal each time we partake. In Luke 22, Jesus says that this is the blood of the new covenant. Jesus is renewing a covenant with you here at this table today when we partake of the Lord's Supper. He guarantees through this your salvation, and he declares himself to be the sacrifice of the covenant on your behalf. What is your part in all that? For your part, you commemorate his death on your behalf. You renew your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when you come to the table. You know, I remember being in churches years ago where they would have altar calls almost every week. And I don't want to criticize other people, but I can remember at one point finally getting there, sitting there thinking, why an altar call? We rarely ever have the Lord's Supper. But that is what Jesus gave us to connect us to Him. See, Jesus gave this as a way of letting us know He is present with us. And that carries serious implications, brothers and sisters, for each one of us who come to the table. For the Lord's Supper is meant only for believers. It is meant only for believers. If you notice in verse 22, who was at the table on this first Lord's Supper? It was only those who followed our Lord. Now I know some of you might say, wait a minute, Judas was there. Was he a follower of the Lord? Well, Judas was there and he claimed to be a follower. But I tell you, that sacrament did him no good. It did him no good because Judas was a covenant breaker. Participation in the sacrament only served to condemn him because of his unbelief. There's no renewal of a covenant outside of the covenant. There's no renewal of the covenant outside of the covenant. The only people that receive the benefits of the sacrament are those who are trusting in Christ as their Savior, who gives them those benefits. It's ludicrous for a non-believer to celebrate the death of Christ. Absolutely. Because what are they doing? They're actually showing contempt for Christ and condemning themselves, as it says in Hebrews 6. What they're celebrating is that they have crucified the Lord of glory by their sin. But if by repentance and faith, you are Christ's disciple, you are invited to come to the table. You are invited to come to the table. In fact, it's even stronger than that. Because in Luke 22, Jesus commands us as believers to come. When he says, do this, he is commanding. Do this in remembrance of me. He is commanding his people to be joined together to him. It's there that he can say to you, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. When you come to the table, you can hear the Lord saying to you in the elements, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's why we do it every week. And that's why we do it together as a church. It is not an individualistic ceremony or celebration. The Lord's Supper is a community meal. It's a community meal. Once again, we go back to our text, and who do we see eating it? We see his disciples with him eating this together. You know, if there's anything in Christianity that connects you to something bigger than yourself, it is the Lord's Supper. It is the table of the Lord. The Lord's Supper is not only a communion with Christ, but it is a joining together of God's family. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that is crying out for a sense of belonging. That is crying out for a sense of community. But at the Lord's table, we find that community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes, we are one body because we all partake of the one bread. There's no getting around it. Warts and all, you belong to the other people in the rows in this church today. They may do things that bother you. You may get prickly towards them sometimes, but you belong to one another through Jesus Christ, your Lord. And when we come to the table, we come acknowledging that. And this has huge significance for us. It means that we must make sure that when we come to the table, we are right with one another. That if someone has offended us in our congregation, we forgive that person. We're not holding a grudge. We need to be a people striving for the bond of peace in the Spirit of Christ. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, that one of the ways we do it is that we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves. You see, the church in Corinth was a church of great division and great sin. And the supper became a time when these divisions, well, they were on display. You could see it. It was awful the way they were conducting themselves around the Lord's table. And the solution wasn't that they just stopped participating in the table. It wasn't that they excommunicate themselves from the table of the Lord. It was that they examine themselves. Why? So that they confess their sin and repent of their sin and then eat of the Lord's Supper. See, you don't come to the table as a perfect person. You come broken as a sinner. You confess your sin before the Lord. And then you partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, what does that mean for us practically speaking here at Grace and Peace? Well, let me start out first with the elders and the deacons, the officers of this church. First, it means for you, examine your attitude toward the sheep over whom God has made you overseers. Examine your attitude, and examine your diligence in ministry. Do you love God's people? Do you feed the sheep as Jesus commanded Peter? Are you diligent? Are you willing to give of yourself for the sake of this congregation? And brothers, I say this to myself before I say it to any of you. We turn to the congregation and we say, examine yourself regarding your personal purity. Regarding your personal purity. This is true for the officers as well. But for the congregation in Corinth, it was a church filled with immorality. Sins of sexuality, just like what's going on today. Brothers and sisters, when you come to the table, examine yourself. Is there something you need to get right with God? Is there substance abuse, abuse of other people, neglect of your family, immorality in your life? Examine yourself. Confess it to the Lord and repent, and then come to the table. But also examine your attitude to the officers. If we're going to ask them to minister, we have to ask you to minister to them. Do you submit yourself to the government of this church as you have vowed to do the day you became a member? You know, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he said to them, one of the problems in the church is that some were saying, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, I follow Peter, I follow Jesus. In effect, you know what they were saying? I don't have to follow Peter and Paul and Jesus because I have Apollos. where I don't have to follow Apollos and Peter and Paul because it's just me and Jesus. I have Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to repent of those attitudes towards the leadership of our churches. When they are proclaiming God's word and ministering God's word, we have an obligation to submit to them. And we have an obligation to do so to make their life joyful in ministry. And so when we find ourselves failing, we confess it to the Lord with a heart of repentance. And then we come to the table to receive of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't excommunicate ourselves and say, well, this week I sinned. Well, if you sin this week, confess it to the Lord and come to the table. And why do I say that? Because the Lord's Supper is spiritual nourishment for you. It's spiritual nourishment. Without nourishment, we cannot live. Jesus says to the disciples, this is my body. This is my blood. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, again, that's a contentious issue, isn't it, in the church throughout the ages. We have all kinds of ideas. Well, it doesn't mean that the elements, the bread and the wine, turn into physical body and blood, as our Roman Catholic friends would teach. It doesn't mean that Christ is somehow present in, with, under, and through the elements, as our Lutheran friends would teach. No offense to them. I understand these are hard things. It doesn't mean either that nothing happens to us in this celebration. That it's a nice thing to do. It's a good ritual, but it's kind of a dead ritual in the sense that it has no effect on us. The way the 4th of July is a nice holiday, but it really doesn't make us independent from England. If we have that idea, we're wrong. It's not a physical eating of Christ's flesh and blood, but it's also not a sterile ritual. And yet, it is orthodox. It is biblical to proclaim that we eat, that we share Christ's literal body and blood. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes, we share in Christ's body and blood when we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There is a participation in some mysterious way in Christ's own body and blood through this sacrament. John Calvin put it like this when he wrote, that by an incomprehensible power of the Spirit, incomprehensible power of the Spirit, Christ feeds us with his body and blood. He feeds us. Paul means that we receive spiritual nourishment from Christ in the Lord's Supper, just as we receive physical nourishment from eating bread and drinking wine. Physically, we receive bread and wine by our mouth. But by the Holy Spirit, we receive spiritual nourishment by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the mouth by which we eat the Lord Jesus. The reason why Christ uses bread and wine then is to show us, as he says in John chapter 6, that his flesh is true bread and his blood is true drink. In other words, he is the living bread from heaven who sustains and who nourishes you. So the table is for those who need spiritual nourishment. When do you most need nourishment? When you're weak and discouraged and weary. Brothers and sisters, the table of the Lord is for us. It is for you when you are weak and discouraged and weary. We don't come to the table because we are good. Please stop thinking that. Stop thinking that. We come to the table because we are sinners in need of a Savior. Now, it's true, we must come to the table worthily. Scripture is clear on that. But that doesn't mean that you simply pretend that you're doing okay. Because let's be honest right now. If we can't be honest in worship, when can we be honest? We're not doing okay. We're broken people in this fallen world. What it means to come worthily is that you come believing on Christ for your salvation, for your forgiveness, that you repent that you're not okay, and that you love one another. They're the three requisites of the table. You come to the table believing on Christ, repenting of your sinfulness, and loving one another. Brothers and sisters, if you are struggling today, do not cut yourself off from Christ at the table. Do not do that. It is at this table that you find strength for the battle. It is at this table that you are refreshed by the Good Shepherd. It is at this table that you find joy in your Savior. And as you live in this fallen and discouraging world, come to the table. Run to the table, because the Lord's Supper is a forward-looking meal. It is a forward-looking meal. What do I mean by that? Look at verses 25 through 26. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said he would not drink again of the wine until he drank it anew in the kingdom of God. He was looking forward to a time when God's kingdom will appear in all its great glory. And that's what he was pointing the disciples to as well. If you've been with us in Mark, that's what he's been pointing to his disciples with all the time he's been ministering in this fallen world. Soon Christ would be crucified. Soon the sheep would be scattered. Soon the powers of darkness would seem to prevail in this world. And he wanted those disciples to look beyond the ugliness of this world's sin and see that he has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Paul tells us in Corinthians the very same thing. He says that we are to receive the Lord's Supper and proclaim his death until he comes, looking forward to that great day when he returns for us in glory. We are looking back now at what Jesus did so that we can be nourished today, so that we can be prepared for tomorrow, when we see him face to face. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus is present with us, brothers and sisters, present by his Spirit. He is there reminding us of his great love toward us and of our connection to one another through him. And he is nourishing us until that day when he comes again. And so now, as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, let us rejoice and let us remember that since Jesus gave the Lord's Supper to his church, you are to partake of it in holy reverence for Christ and as a means to your spiritual growth. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. from the Lord Jesus Christ this day. We thank you for the sacrament that joins us to Christ, through which he renews a covenant with us. Let our faith in him not waver. Let our faith in him be true. Let it be seen in our actions and in our love for one another. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.